Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, Denton, can we wrap this up kind of quickly? Like,
I can try.
I am interested in what the lawsuit is and where it's going. I think for me, the incredible sort of social media response to this was surprising to me, because I'm the idiot that had no idea who she was. And I don't know who the hairdresser is. And I'm telling you right now, you could pull up the Fox Sports Network lineup of talking head shows, and I would not be able to name one show on it. I just don't watch it. ESPN, I don't watch a lot either, but I know the shows because that's on in the background. I know what Get Up is, which is the Greenberg show. I know the Stephen A. Smith show, obviously. Stephen A. Smith I don't know if there's anybody that's ever been as relentless a worker as he is. He's got a podcast. He's got a radio show. He's got a TV show. He does the NBA. Massive all-time for me respect for Stephen A's work ethic. I don't think anybody matches it. But anyway, I don't know anything about the Fox Sports Network or these people. I remember Skip Bayless from Stephen A's show.
Yes.
And I certainly know who Colin Cowherd is. So now Joy Taylor's a part of this lawsuit. How?
Well, so it's funny. Skip Bayless is actually the main proponent of this lawsuit.
Okay.
And then Joy Taylor was thrown in alongside. But so I gave you kind of the background to Joy Taylor. Over the course of years, she had worked with a hairstylist by the name of Nooshin Faraji. And she is the plaintiff in this lawsuit. And her biggest...
Nooshin Faraji is the hairdresser who's bringing this lawsuit, is what you're saying.
Yes, she's bringing
against
this lawsuit.
Against whom?
Against Fox Sports, Skip Bayless. It's not necessarily against Joy Taylor. So there's nothing really legally, I don't think, that would take her down necessarily. It just makes her public image look very poor because of the things that she represents.
This probably is going to help her public image, because I think a lot of people really didn't know who she was.
Yes and no, because one of the counterpoints to that would be that if you look up Joy Taylor, you will find her in many instances on camera, on microphone, talking about how she got her job the right way, how she's pro-woman, and she didn't do it the ways of the past where she slept around. She did it with hard work and sticking to the grind, and then you get this lawsuit where it turns out she slept with a high-level executive at Fox to get these jobs. She was sleeping with Emmanuel Acho, allegedly, to get on that Speak for Yourself job, and now there's... I mean, Acho is just, he's an interesting
Wait
character
a minute.
On Twitter.
She was sleeping with Emmanuel Acho to get a job? What would Emmanuel Acho have to do with giving her a job?
Fight for her to be on Speak for Yourself.
Okay.
Because Emmanuel Acho is one of the big guys on Speak for Yourself.
All right.
He is, I guess you would call him talent
What
number
did
one.
Skip Bayless do?
So Skip Bayless, in this lawsuit, allegedly offered to pay the hairdresser $1.5 million to have sex with him.
That can't be true. I mean, come on. That cannot be true. Who would ever offer someone? How smoking hot is the hairdresser? I haven't seen the picture of her.
I don't know that I've seen a picture of her either.
Who would offer $1.5 million to somebody? And by the way,
well, Skip Bayless isn't normal, as you know. I mean, the guy is a crackpot.
He's not an idiot.
I don't know. I've seen some of his takes. Okay. I don't know that he'd be doing something like this necessarily, but it wasn't just like a one-time thing. He didn't just walk up to her and be like, hey, I have $1.5 million. You want to go to my car? It wasn't something like that.
For 3 minutes.
It was something built up over years where he would constantly touch her. He would linger a little bit too long. He would kiss her on the cheek. There ain't nobody I'm working with.
Is Skip Bayless married?
Yeah, he is. Literally everyone in this lawsuit except for the hairdresser is married or was engaged in some capacity.
Okay. So he basically sexually harassed her.
For years, and then topped it off when she tried to get him to stop, according to the lawsuit, by saying, hey, I have a cancer scare in my, I think it was ovarian cancer. And then Skip Bayless says, I'll give you $1.5 million to have sex, according to the lawsuit.
Okay. But
Joy Taylor was friendly with the hairdresser, and she wanted the hairdresser around her. Apparently, this woman is very talented at doing hair because she, like, Joy Taylor wanted her specifically, and she found over the course of years, Joy Taylor is sleeping with a high-level executive. And then she finds out Joy Taylor is sleeping with Emmanuel Acho. And then that high-level executive touches and gropes this hairdresser at a party in which Joy Taylor, who, as I just mentioned, is very much pro-woman. You have to do things the right way. You can't be getting around. She says, you got to get over it. This is the way that things work. So very different behind the scenes. And then there was an allegation in this lawsuit that they had a confrontation about the guy's name is Charlie Dixon. He's a high-level executive at Fox. They had a conversation about him in which, according to the lawsuit, Joy Taylor said, when he stopped being useful to me, I was just going to accuse him of coming on to me. And that's where the public image starts to get tarnished for Joy Taylor. Now, she's popping all over social media. This is the most amount of buzz. I mean, she's been trending for like 2 straight days on social media.
Mm-hmm. I'm bored. Can we go do something else?
We could do something. I thought you were excited about it because you wanted to know all the ins and outs here.
I really just wanted to know what all the buzz was about and who these people were and what Skip Bayless and Fox could be in trouble if these accusations are, allegations are proven true. It sounds to me like the hairdresser, and I just found a picture of her. I mean, whatever. Sounds like, you know, the person that took the most, was in the most uncomfortable situations with multiple people. I have a hard time believing that somebody would actually give somebody $1.5 million for sex. I mean,
probably
not. It doesn't cost that much for Skip Bayless if he wanted to go that route in paying for it. What else? Anything else in news?
Oh, do you want to talk about WWE on Netflix, or you good on that? You want to go back to the lawsuit?
WWE, doesn't do it for me either. I am, real quickly, I am interested in how it's going to play out for the Cowboys and McCarthy now. McCarthy clearly trying to tell Jerry, look, people are interested in me. You may not be, but do you think McCarthy ends up getting another year in Dallas?
Yeah, I do, because I think Jerry's going to do what he did with Dak and CeeDee Lamb, which is wait way too long. And then by the time you are ready to make a decision, everyone that you wanted is off the market. You know, they screwed themselves this offseason because of the contract thing. They waited too long to give Dak and CeeDee all this money. If they gave them that money early in the offseason, you can create a little bit of cap room and sign some more guys. They didn't do that because Jerry wanted to play hardball. My guess is that the actor, Jerry Jones, apparently who's in a television show over the weekend, is that he is going to play a little bit of hardball with this and take that negotiation up to the limit of the negotiating window. And by that time, I mean, that's a week from now. Coaches are going to be off the market a week from now. All the top candidates, at least, are going to be off the market a week from now.
Well, you've got the 14 playoff teams. Teams will wait.
You would hope so, but like if you want Vrabel, if Vrabel is going to take a job,
But Ben Johnson's the number one candidate in this carousel, right?
Yeah, but he's not going to Dallas.
I think it's going to be fascinating to see where. What do you think? Is it the Jets? Is it the Patriots or the Bears?
I would say it's one of them. It becomes a question of who does he like more, Caleb Williams or Drake May?
I know.
Because going to the Jets. You're not going to take Ben Johnson to Aaron Rodgers.
Agreed.
And you don't have I wonder
if Vrabel took the Jet job if he'd won Aaron Rodgers back.
That's a great question.
Because Vrabel has not had a quarterback as a head coach. Am I right? Tannehill.
Tannehill, who's okay. But he was Tannehill was a quarterback, but he wasn't a franchise
exactly.
guy. But Rodgers in his 40s, I don't think is either. I think if you're Mike Vrabel and you're taking over, I feel like he would maybe be more fit for Dallas because at least they have things.
Right. All right. We got a playoff game coming up Sunday night. I got a few thoughts on that. I want you to start thinking about the thing that you're most concerned about heading into Sunday night against Tampa and the thing that you're most confident in. If you want to line up on the phone lines, we're going to open them up at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Heading into this matchup with the Buccaneers Sunday night, what are you most concerned about? What are you most confident in? We'll have time tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, to predict the game, to talk about how long this team you believe will participate in postseason games. But for now, we've just seen 17 games. We have a pretty clear picture of what this team is. What are you most concerned about Sunday night in the matchup against Tampa? And what are you most confident in? It's the Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, what are you most concerned about as it relates to Sunday night's matchup against Tampa Bay, and what are you most confident in heading into that game? I'll let Denton answer after I get finished, and you guys can weigh in with your answers at 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open at 301-230-0980. So, let me just begin with this. I think they can win this game. I do. I think they are a team that is capable of beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Sunday night and advancing to the divisional round of the NFC playoffs for the first time in 19 years. Of course, the last time they won a playoff game was 19 years ago today. 19 years ago today, January 7th, 2006, Washington went to Tampa and beat the Buccaneers in the wild card round 17-10. Mark Brunell threw for 41 yards in the game. It is still a record. It's the fewest passing yards ever in the post-merger era of NFL football. The fewest yards ever by a winning team in a playoff game. They only had 120 total yards of offense. But LeVar Arrington was great. Sean Taylor was great before he got booted for spitting in Pittman's eye through his helmet. And it was a defensive-led win. I think Washington can go back to Tampa, the place they last won a playoff game, and win their first one in 19 years. But I also think that the ways that they can win are few, limited. You know, we've seen a full regular season of 17 games of our team. Tampa's played 17 games, so there's a lot to know about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers season as well. But we know our team inside and out, and we know who they are and what they are. You know, they're a very good to, at times, great offensive team. They're a subpar to bad defensive team. So high level, I'm most concerned about the defense. I am most confident in the offense. But more specifically, I'm very confident in Jaden Daniels, even as a rookie quarterback, performing at a high level and giving the team a legitimate chance to hold on to the football, to move the football, and to score points on offense. He is, of course, the key to that. I am confident that he'll be able to do that. Tampa Bay is very good as a run-stopping team. They have been lit up through the air. I think Washington's got a chance to move the football and score points against Tampa. That is the path to winning the game, because my number one concern specifically is that they'll fail to stop Tampa when Tampa tries to run the football, and when they throw it, people will be wide open and they will catch it for chunk plays. I don't have any confidence in the defense's ability Sunday to get off the field consistently. I have a hope that Baker Mayfield makes some mistakes. He is certainly prone to those. He leads the league with 16 interceptions. He leads the league with turnover-worthy throws, according to PFF. He's also thrown for 4,500 yards and 41 touchdowns and completes over 71% of his passes. So there's that too. But the way they win the game, minus Baker Mayfield imploding and throwing 2 to 3 picks, he's done it a few times this year, is they have to possess the ball and they have to score. You know, the bottom line, as I've talked about, you know, for the last couple of days, you know, over this 5-game winning streak, they have faced teams that aren't very good offensively. You know, they have faced Will Levis, and then they faced Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener, and then they faced, after Jalen Hurts left the game very early, Kenny Pickett. Now, Saquon Barkley was on that team, and A.J. Brown was on that team, and Kenny Pickett didn't play that poorly. So that was probably their biggest test here over the final five in terms of quarterbacks and offenses. But then they got Michael Penix Jr. in his second NFL game, and they closed facing Trey Lance. And let's be honest with each other. Those five teams, and they've got a 5-game winning streak against those teams were not fit to be good offensively, and they all had varying degrees of success offensively. And Washington pulled out 4 of those 5 last games, the wins, by a grand total of 14 points. You know, last week, they had to score on a play with 3 seconds left in regulation to win against Trey Lance and the Cowboys. The week before that, it was Raheem Morris completely botching the clock and timeout situation that ended up being a significant reason for the outcome. The week before that, Devontae Smith has a ball in his hands on 3rd and 5 for a first down that would have effectively ended the game, and he dropped it. And the week before that, Spencer Rattler drove the Saints down the field, threw a touchdown pass with no time left, and they went for 2 to beat this team. You know, they have to play better all around as a team to make a big run. They may not have to do that Sunday night because Tampa's vulnerable defensively and Baker Mayfield will put some balls up for grabs. Washington has not played clean football down the stretch, and yet they've won 5 games. You know, all of this, by the way, is, you know, said with great conviction, even though, as a bettor, I understand this, most of you do as well, the NFL consistently, you know, bucks what you think is going to happen. you know, what you're expecting to happen. The odds makers think that this is going to be a shootout. It's the highest over-under total on the board. But how many times does that happen and all of a sudden you go from thinking, oh, this is going to be 31-28 to watching a 16-13 game? But based on what we know, and we know a lot about our team, we are a very good to at times great offensive team. We're just not very good on defense. And the specific formula for beating a good team like Tampa, a good offensive team like Tampa, we haven't faced that with the quarterback healthy since Jalen Hurts on Thursday night in Philadelphia, the first game against Philly. The weight and the path and the way to win, not a lot of ways, but there is one way, and that is to do it with offense. Have the offense be the best offense it can be and simultaneously be the best defense that the team has, because we get to keep the defense and we get to keep Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, and Bucky Irving in that offensive line on their sideline. The offense has to win the game Sunday night. They just don't have a lot of other ways to do it. But the way of doing it, I'm confident in. I'm confident that they can do it offensively. But if they don't take advantage of, say, a 10-possession game in which they score on six of those possessions, all right, six, even if it's three touchdowns, three field goals, that gets you to 30. If they don't do that, then they're going to give up 30. If they're not possessing the ball and scoring on half of their drives minimum on Sunday night, then they're giving Tampa too many swings at it, and they're going to give up 30, unless Baker soils himself. Baker Mayfield is not Cooper Rush. He's not Trey Lance. He's not Will Levis. He's not Jake Haener. He's not Spencer Rattler. He's not Kenny Pickett. Okay, that's what we faced recently. As I mentioned, it's been a while since we faced a legitimate quarterback. Jalen Hurts, for sure. If you want to say Russ, go ahead. But it's actually probably been since Lamar, all the way back in October, that you faced a quarterback as good as the one that you're facing on Sunday night. And an offense that is rolling. Listen to this, Denton. Tampa has been on a roll. First of all, offensively, Washington and Tampa are very comparable. Like, when you go to almost any sort of statistical category, team-wise, Washington and Tampa are pretty close. Tampa is the seventh-best offense per DVOA. They're third overall in yards per game. They're the fourth-highest scoring team in the NFL, averaging 29.5 points per game. But listen to what they've done over their last seven. They had to do this. They went 6-1 over their last seven to win the NFC South as Atlanta was flailing. They've averaged 32 points per game over their last seven. They've averaged 454 yards per game over their last seven. They went over the 500-yard mark twice over their last seven games. They were 48 of 92 on third downs. That's 52.1%. By the way, Tampa led the league this year on third down conversions at 50.9%. They are catching a very capable, like our team is, Tampa's catching the same thing. A very capable, and by the way, kind of a red hot offensive football team. Now, some of the same things that I said about our team in terms of the wins and the finish, you can say about them. Their 6-1 finish, the Giants, the Panthers, the Raiders, they absolutely beat down a Chargers team that was very good on defense. They lost to the Cowboys, and then they beat the Panthers and Saints. So they had a lot of, you know, schedule softness down the stretch as well. The Charger game is a road game in which they went into L.A. They put up 506 yards and 40 points against that Charger defense. They were 9-for-15 on third down in the game, Baker Mayfield, 22 of 27 for 288 and four touchdowns. He had a 95.0 QBR with an interception. They rushed for 223 yards. Bucky Irving and Rashad White combined for 181 yards on 30 carries. That's a good defense the Chargers have. They destroyed it. We don't really have, an overall team result that resembles that. But we do have the result over the Eagles, even though the Eagles were without their starting quarterback. Their starting quarterback didn't play defense. And Washington turning the ball over five times, but still scoring 36 points against the Philadelphia Eagles was impressive. This is a matchup of two high-level offensive football teams. It'll be the biggest challenge for Washington's defense in a long time. I'm most confident that they're up to the challenge offensively, that they absolutely can be highly productive, possess the ball, score on 6 of 10 possessions to have a chance with a 28-plus, 27-plus, 30-point-plus outing to win the game. But I am most concerned with their ability to get off the field defensively without Baker Mayfield helping them. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What are you most confident in? What are you most concerned with when it comes to Sunday night? Denton, what's your answer?
The concerns lie in a very similar position. I would say I'm most concerned that Marshon Lattimore does not play. Yeah, I look at Mike Evans. He's 6'5". I look at the number one corner without Marshon Lattimore. It's Mikey Sanders still. He is measured at 5'10". That might be generous. So Mike Evans is literally nearly a foot taller than the number one corner if Lattimore doesn't play. I do not expect Marshon Lattimore, if he does play, to go out there and be the absolute best he has ever been. I think it's unfair to think that dealing with a hamstring injury, but I at least want him out there because he knows kind of the tendencies of Mike Evans. So I'm very concerned if he can't go, what the defense is going to look like and really what the Buccaneers offense is going to do to the defense. What I'm most confident in, similar to you, is the offense and Jaden Daniels, but I'm going to take a little bit of a different route. I'm going to go that Terry McLaurin has a bounce-back game. Like a bounce-back game with
Jaden. You mean with Jaden.
With Jaden, right, because he played well at the end of the Dallas game. Right. But we had gone weeks posting all of these graphics about how good Jaden and Terry were together. Passer rating of 140, completion percentage at one point was like 75-80%. I mean, they were firing on all cylinders, and they hit a little bit of a lull. I think in a primetime game, Jaden's going to be on fire. I think Terry bounces back. He's been really, really good all season. I expect the best out of him, and that's what I'm most confident in offensively on Sunday.
It was, when we go back to the Philly game in which there were five turnovers, Terry had the five catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown in that one, but he was only targeted six times in that game. You know, his targets over the last 3 weeks with Jaden before Marcus came in to the game, he was targeted seven times with just the one catch against Atlanta, targeted six times against Philadelphia, and in the first half against the Cowboys, targeted just twice with Jaden, and had the one catch. So that's been off. That's got to be back on. There should be an opportunity, though. Tampa's really banged up. If Antoine Winfield Jr. is not back, huge advantage. Jordan Whitehead got into a car accident over the weekend. He is, out. They are really hurting defensively in their secondary. They're hard to run against, but they're easy to throw against. I think this could be, a big game for Jaden through the air. And, a big game running around when people aren't open, if people aren't open. I'm with you on the Terry thing, though. They got to get Terry going. I'm not a guy that, as you know, will just say, well, you got to force feed him, and you got to throw to him early. You got to get 17 in the game. I want Jaden to go where his progressions are. But I think, given what we've seen, which is with their offense, I think Eckler back is huge. But basically, without Eckler, they have Terry and they have Ertz, recently. and that's it. Then we got to make sure that they get, you know, hooked up early and they get into some sort of rhythm early. But the bottom line Sunday night is every offensive possession has to be treated like it is literally a game-winning drive. You're going to have to be aggressive on fourth downs. You're going to have to keep the ball, and you're going to have to make each one of these drives pay off with a score. And if it isn't a score, it's still a 7 or 8 play, 4 minute drive before a punt at midfield. That's what you have to do, because if you give Tampa the opportunities that Dallas had on Sunday, you're going to have to score 34 to beat them. And you may not have enough possessions to do it. Offense is everything. I'd take the ball if they win the toss. Now, you know, part of that goes against the crowd that's always pumped up at the beginning of a game versus the beginning of the third quarter. But you got to set the tone with Jaden, Terry, and your offense. You mentioned Lattimore, huge. Biotish may be just as important, because Dieter got whipped multiple times on Sunday. They cannot let, you know, a team that has struggled to defend the pass get healthy, because they get a really quick and immediate interior pass rush. Biotis is huge. Eckler back will be huge, though, because I think we saw at least some inkling, you know, some hope there from Sunday. All right, everybody on hold, stay there. 301-230-0980. What are you most concerned about Sunday night? What are you most confident about Sunday night? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, team980.com. I'm just pulling this up again, Denton, because we were just talking about this during the break. I have a feeling that Sunday night, and I think we saw just, you know, an opportunity for the coaches to be comfortable doing this. I think we're going to see a lot of Austin Eckler against the Buccaneers and not as much Brian Robinson Jr. In the game on Sunday, Brian Robinson Jr., 23 snaps, 40% of the snaps. And Eckler was in out there for 35 offensive snaps, 60% of them. To beat Tampa, you got to throw the football. I think we're going to see a lot of Eckler. A lot of Eckler and less of trying to run into a team that is very stout on the interior against the run. You guys all know the name Vita Vea, but they've got, you know, they got Kansas, a big time player as an end for them. They can stop the run, but they have really struggled with all of their injuries in the secondary to stop teams from throwing the football. So I think we're going to see a lot of Eckler. And then with the field spread a little bit, you can get Eckler in on the run game. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What are you most confident in? What are you most concerned about heading to Tampa for a Sunday night wild card round playoff game? Let's start with Jameer in D.C. Jameer, go ahead.
What's up, big dog? How y'all doing?
I'm good, Jameer.
So I'm going to start off with my concern. What I'm most concerned is the run defense. Now, I agree with you on the fact that Baker Mayfield puts himself in vulnerable situations that can be taken advantage of for us. But if Tampa Bay gets out there and Irving then got more than comfortable with that offense, he's had an outstanding year. He gets going and Tampa Bay gets in their head that they don't have to throw the ball 30, 40 times, then Baker's not going to have the opportunity to put himself in that situation.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So that's the most concerning part. Is he get out there, he get 5-6 yards a carry, Baker's not going to have to throw.
I'm with you. And by the way, when they load the box to try to stop Bucky Irving, once he's ripped off, you know, 5 yards, 7 yards, 12 yards, then it's just getting the ball out quickly to Mike Evans or to Jalen McMillan. And then those guys, you know, after the catch, they're going to be dangerous. Or getting the ball, you know, out of the backfield. This guy, Sean Tucker, who's been a really good player for them out of the backfield and very explosive. So I'm with you on that, for sure. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Chris in Delaware. Chris, what are you most concerned with? What are you most confident about Sunday night?
Thanks for taking the call, Kev. All right, so the defense has been bend but don't break. We saw it against Dallas. They bend a whole lot, and they didn't break, and we had some breaks of our own from the refs and some things that just fell our way. If we play that defense against this Tampa Bay team, they're going to be breaking the majority of the night. So the thing I'm most concerned with is actually the offense, and they need to start quickly. We know they can score. We know they can score on one play. We know they can do 12-yard drives, sustained, clock-draining drives.
Yep.
But they've got to start quick. And that's going to come down to Cliff has to be ahead of the adjustments. We need to have an opening drive that goes down, and everything's clicking, scores. They're going to probably come back and score again. He has to stay ahead of the defense, their defensive adjustments. So starting quick is what I'm most concerned with, because last week did not give us a lot of confidence in starting quick in the way that they performed.
I'm most concerned with. You just have to, over the course of 60 minutes, you know, an average of 10 possession, you know, 10 chances, you know, not counting if you just go into this thinking you're not going to get takeaways, because we've not been a good takeaway team, even though Baker gives you opportunities. And that would be the pleasant surprise, right? That you end up with two picks and a fumble and you're plus three, and now you've gotten three additional chances that they didn't get. To me, you got to hit on 60% of these drives. You got to score. You know, and
yeah, I mean,
I don't have any confidence that you're going to get off the field consistently against Tampa without Tampa doing something to themselves.
No, and that's why, you know, a pleasant surprise would be turnovers on our behalf, but we can't count on that. You know, this isn't the game we break our streak of, you know, being even for the season. Right. So you have to just have this team. It's going to have to be a shootout. Like, that's the only way you can win this game. As you said, the offense has to win the game. And you cannot have a half of football. If you have a quarter of football, like you get against Dallas, against this team, you're done. The game's over. I mean, they're just not.
Dallas was 1-for-6 in the red zone. Some of that was of their own doing. We pointed that out, you know, right, on yesterday's show. But if Tampa gets to the red zone 6 times, which is what the Dallas Cowboys with Trey Lance did, you're going to have to score 35, you know, because they're getting 30. You know, so
yep.
You're going to have to score 31 anyway. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Let's go to Ian. Ian, what are you most confident in? What are you most concerned with?
Kevin, I agree with your analysis spot on, and I appreciate you kind of walking through what I would call the strength of schedule argument. While you were on vacation, I called in to Denton and Linnell and kind of comped this team to Indiana or SMU, a team that absolutely had a fantastic season. The future looks bright, and they deserve to be in the playoffs. Nobody's debating that. But when you evaluate this team, you have to be mindful of how many backup quarterbacks or even third-string quarterbacks they've faced along the way, and I appreciate you bringing that up. In terms of the other concern is special teams. I think the defense and special teams are just not at that playoff standard, and I think Washington, frankly, probably got the best matchup of anybody in the entire playoffs on a winnable game. I don't think Tampa Bay's that strong, and God, you're talking about two of the worst clock manager, game manager people between Dan Quinn and Todd Bowles that you got.
No, Quinn's not one of the worst. No, he isn't.
He's not. But, Kevin, you were pretty tough on him these last couple of weeks.
There's been a couple of things here and there, but he's not one of the worst. They've actually, overall, I would have graded him as a B-minus, C-plus for the season. They're not what some of these teams are. They're not what Raheem Morris. What Raheem Morris did was truly right. Negligence on his part. He cost his team a playoff berth.
Yeah. So, like, to use the Ken Beatrice line, like many of Washington's games, more games are lost than won. And I think Washington can absolutely win this game with some issues between clock management, timeout management, pick by Baker Mayfield at the opportune time. I don't see Washington winning more than one, but again, if you told people...
But you're missing out. You're missing out on, to me, the number one way they win this game, which is they go out and win it with their offense. They don't rely on Baker Mayfield self-destructing. They don't rely on a couple of calls or Todd Bowles mangling the clock. The number one way they go out and win this game is that Jaden Daniels leads a 450-yard, 6 for 11 on third down, 31-plus point performance where they score on 6 of their 10 drives, and they win 31-27. That can happen.
No, I would agree. Yeah. Absolutely. And he's been that great. So, yeah, that's absolutely on the table.
All right.
I just haven't seen that against a good team, so we'll see on Sunday.
Thank you. We've seen the offense do it against good defenses. We haven't seen our defense match up against a really good offense in a while. I mean, Philly, obviously, but it was Kenny Pickett 2 weeks ago. Atlanta can really run the football. There's no doubt about that. But Michael Penix Jr., I mean, literally missed 3 touchdown passes in the game. I mean, missed so many easy pitch and catch throws. Let's go to TC. TC, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Kevin.
Sure.
Okay, first of all, I'm confident in Jaden and Terry. And one thing that everybody's missing is that I really had confidence in Cliff and Dan and Quinn. Because we played Tampa the first time. Our team has grown since offense, when we lost to Tampa the first time. It's a long season. Jason has improved tremendously. So I believe we can score points. What I don't have confidence in is our matchup. It's our offensive line and our defensive line. They don't match up with Tampa at all.
I like this observation. Keep going.
So I'm thinking that since Dan Quinn and Cliff know this, they're going to scheme better to help that out so we can win this game. Because that's the way it's going to be won. In the playoffs, it's won up front in the trenches. Everybody can score. All these teams pretty much can score points in the playoffs. You got to win the trenches. We do not match up with Tampa Bay in the trenches. And if they don't scheme to do better, that's Dan Quinn and Cliff to control Tampa Bay offensive line and defensive line, we're going to have a problem. That's where the game is going to be won. We can score points. Everybody know, Jason and Terry are going to score points. But it's the prompt issue of how long and how much time he has to do that.
Right.
Because they come
look,
the Cowboys is a
we got manhandled by the Cowboys in 2 games here over the last month and a half of the season up front.
Right.
And now they don't have a Micah Parsons, and Parsons came back for that first game or the game before, and we had to play our backup center. This is why Biotish and a healthy offensive line is crucial on Sunday. Scheming around it, though, to your point, and it's a good one, I don't see – that's why I think we're going to see a lot more Eckler Sunday night than Brian Robinson Jr. I think we're going to see a lot of Eckler. I think we are going to see a ton of 11 personnel. I mean, I think Ertz is going to be a big-time target. I mean, Juwan Johnson, the tight end for New Orleans, had 8 catches on Sunday against Tampa's defense. But I see this ball. I think the game plan is we're going to come out and we're going to be throwing the football. And then when there isn't anything open, Jaden can go make a play. But ramming Brian Robinson Jr. into Vita Vea and that defensive front, which is pretty stout against the run, doesn't make a lot of sense. Thanks for the call. Let's go to... Oh, look at who's on hold. Sabah. Have not heard from Sabah in a while, even though I get DM'd over and over again from Sabah. But
Kevin.
I know.
Hearing,
I know. You're
I
working.
Call.
You're working. What do you got?
Hey, okay. So I have the most confidence in our quarterback play and Cliff Kingsbury. And I think that we win by offense. I don't even care about the defense. Let the team score. It's offense that is the best defense. And I have a play called the PTR. It's called pass to run. And Jaden is doing it to perfection. Third and long, fourth and long. Those are actually pass plays that are designed to run because he is best at doing that. So he baits the team, and if there's a wide open guy, throw it. But if it's not, he baits the defensive line up. He gets one little crease. All his wide receivers are deep, and he's basically like doing a punt return. It has worked 80 to 90% of our third and fourth and long plays. I call them pass to run. And if he does that, we win the game. If he doesn't do that and Tampa Bay doesn't let him do that, they make him just sit back there and find somebody to throw it to, then I think they win. So PTRs are going to be the difference of this game, and it's got to be in the 30s or we don't have any chance of winning.
Thank you, Sabah. Good call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Joe in Springfield. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, Joe.
So I would say what I feel most confident about is the offense on Sunday, but also the fact that I got one person that is not on the field, Dan Quinn. All season long, Kevin, he has made us believe. I mean, except for the Tampa Bay game where was our first game with adjusting to who Ali was, and the Thursday night game in Philly, we were all banged up. Other than that, Kevin, we have been in these tight-knit games. Even the Baltimore loss, I mean, we were only lost by a score because of what – yeah, so it's been Dan Quinn all season long. And even in the Pittsburgh game where if it was like just an inch closer with Zach Ertz, we probably win that game. If not for the missed extra point against the Cowboys and the special teams touchdowns we allowed against Dallas, we win that game too. So it's been inches of Dan Quinn believing in us all season long. What I'm concerned about is our defense against the run. It's been a problem all season long. I mean, Lattimore, I hope he does play on Sunday. But Kevin, you mentioned one thing about Tampa Bay, though, and I'm glad you brought it up. Jordan Whitehead, I mean, hopefully we all pray that he's feeling better after that car accident, because that is scary to think about or even hear about. But that could be a problem, too, because their defense is already banged up. And if we can light it up by throwing the football, I do feel we have confidence. This is a different football team we're going down, but also a different Tampa Bay team these last couple weeks, too. So it's going to be a close game. And again, Kevin, like I said with Dan Quinn, it's going to come down to the wire on Sunday night. We'll see what happens, but I do like our chances Sunday. Take care, Kevin.
Yeah. One of the things I just had in my notes, Tampa here, you know, down the stretch, and I mentioned that they didn't, you know, they had a schedule kind of similar to ours. You know, Saints, Panthers twice, Raiders, Cowboys. They lost to the Cowboys. They did play the Chargers. But they didn't really face a true dual threat quarterback, and really haven't, since they faced Lamar Jackson on Monday Night Football way back in late October, whenever that was, and they were a very injured team. They play a lot of mix of man and zone. You know, I was looking at sort of some of the zone coverages and how quarterbacks have done, like a Bryce Young, who played really well down the stretch, kind of shredded their zone coverage in a game in which they nearly won a few weeks back, not the one they got blown out in. But you can't play, if you're going to play man coverage against Jaden Daniels, that's a big risk. You know, how Bowles plays a team that may use their air game to move the football more than anything else is going to be really an interesting part of the X's and O's Sunday night. Bowles is good, man. He'll come up with a good scheme. That's why I'm really wondering if Washington will even attempt to run the football with their running backs, something that they haven't been able to do. And Tampa's been a shutdown defensive team against the run recently. All right, that's it. Back tomorrow.